Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. How effective has cancel culture been, and is it a time we cancelled culture? Well, that whole sentence has got so many facets that need to be broken down. And to help us make sense of it, we're going to be chatting now to Prof. Anton Harbour. He's the Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression. Anton, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for the chance to discuss an interesting and important issue.
It's interesting, it's important, and a lot of people, myself included, don't quite understand it. So let's start off, what is cancel culture?
Well, you hit the nail on the head with that question, because the problem with it is there's no easy or simple definition, which is why it's often used, abused, by people who don't want to face criticism. But what we've seen, in the age of social media is the capacity of people to organize, to boycott, isolate, cancel someone. So J.K. Rowling will say something that's controversial to the gay community, the GBLTQ community, and there will then be a campaign that attempts to isolate and, in a sense, boycott her and try and cancel her voice. In some American campuses, you've seen movements to stop controversial people speaking on campus because what they say may be hurtful or upsetting. That is seen as part of what is called a cancel culture. I think the bottom line is that, there's canceling, which is just really normal part of the public discourse. So, you're perfectly entitled to boycott J.K. Rowling, call on people not to buy her books, call on them not to have anything to do with her. Nothing wrong with that, really, until it crosses over into trouble.
So, Prof, what we're saying is that this is more an infringement of the freedom of expression, because especially you spoke about campuses. People are being brought onto campuses to speak, and often they are going to be controversial. And we've lost Professor Anton Harbour. We are going to try get him on the line again.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we're back live with Professor Anton Harbour, the Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression. Before we had the technical difficulty, we were discussing cancel culture and how it's impacting on individuals. When we look at people going onto campuses where it's normally a melting pot of thought and people are now not allowed to express thought, my question to the professor is this cancel culture now infringing on freedom of expression?
So what I was saying is that cancel culture is a much abused term because it's not very clearly defined. And it's often exaggerated, I must say, to attack certain things. So, for example, there's been a few incidents on American campuses of where speakers have been disinvited or deplatformed, as they say, because what they say may upset some people. But it's very, very few occasions. By and large, on campuses, there's a lot of vigorous debate. And in fact, with social media these days, our debate, I would argue, is very open, and many more people can participate. So I think the issue of cancel culture is often exaggerated because the term is not clearly defined.
So what do we do to protect the expression? Because my understanding of universities, especially because we're seeing it's very prevalent, and you mentioned incidents on US campuses. My understanding is that people come together with differing views to have a debate, to have a discussion. And people mustn't confuse cancel culture with issues of importance such as the Me Too movement. And I think this is where there's a lot of loss in translation in respect of what's happening. This isn't exposing somebody for something as horrific as what Harvey Weinstein was accused of. That was a crime. This is going... And we've lost the professor again. It seems like we have a bad line. It's an absolute pity because this is such an important conversation. I'm seeing if our technical department are going to try getting back online. And if he is back online, we'll continue the conversation. Although we are running out of time, we have the news headlines coming up in a couple of minutes. Going to the social media page, Carol Zimmerman says, "Oh my word, are we talking about for crumpters? Let them get a life." Somebody said we didn't get the last part of what he said. That's unfortunate because we are experiencing technical difficulties. Agent says, "I'll take the one ply. I have to agree with Carol Moore, Queen, please." We do have Prof. Anton Harbour back. Prof, the conversation I was looking most forward to is the conversation we seem to be having the most problems with. It seems our cancel culture is trying to cancel our conversation. So we've got 4 minutes. I'm going to leave it to you to chat about cancel culture and wrap it up before the 7:30 news.
Okay. I think, as I say, I think, the incidence of cancel culture is often exaggerated for political purposes because there isn't a clear definition of it. Clearly on campuses should be places of free speech, open debate, and there have been a few, there is a tendency to say that somebody upsets me, somebody may hurt me, and therefore I don't want them to speak, I want to deplatform them. And we have to understand that free speech is not about blocking somebody if they upset you, or they may even be offenses to you. Spaces like campus, which are areas of free speech, are places where you want people to say things that challenge, even offend you. And we have to strongly defend that space. And I think most campuses are like that. But it's something one has to be vigilant about in this era when trolling can be a dangerous weapon to silence people. So I do think it's something we need to be extremely vigilant about, but also not exaggerate, because we see many kinds of cancel culture which are really attempts to either stop hate speech or just say, "I want nothing to do with this person and their views," and you're perfectly entitled to do that. That is part of free speech too. So one must be careful not to abuse the term and to focus on real attempts to silence people rather than when it's used as a political weapon.
Well, conversely, cancel culture is doing themselves a disservice. They're taking away the opportunity to make a statement by boycotting a speaker or by protesting when a speaker comes that they don't like. So they are, in actual fact, doing themselves a disservice by cancelling something completely.
Well, if it's cancelled, but protesting, there's no problem against protesting against someone you disagree with. There's no problem, I think, if you say, "Well, I'm not going to go hear that person to speak." It's when you actually silence and stop people speaking simply because you dislike them. And look, what you have to realize is that there's a fine line that we need to try and understand between hate speech and non-hate speech. We do need to act against hate speech because it can lead to terrible issues and problems and to violence. But we also have to guard against anything we don't like or don't want to hear being labeled as hate speech. So it's a question of finding that fine line between acceptable speech and what is real, genuine, problematic hate speech.
Professor Anton Harbour, doyen of South African journalism, always a pleasure chatting to you. I must apologize for the technical difficulties. I think our listeners were as frustrated. We got a lot of messages in. And I'm looking forward to chatting to you again in the new year. There is so much to talk about, especially in the world of media, in what we're seeing. But this cancel culture conversation really was fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Professor Anton Harbour is the Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression and the Professor of Journalism, and also heads up the Taco Caper Investigative Journalism Awards panel.